This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, and good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. You guys are waking up early this morning, so we already have two calls on the line, so we appreciate that.
Yep.
Feel free to get online as we wait as well. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we will do our best to help you with your technology woes or just inquiries
or whatever
you might have. So we appreciate you joining us on this Saturday morning here in Connecticut and across the U.S. of A. We have listeners out in Norway.
Norway!
We got some Norwegians.
Norway! Yeah. That's great.
But we appreciate it. So thank you for listening out there. But let's get to your news you can use there, Dennis, as folks are just waiting with bated breath.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you got?
All right. What we've got is a story about an AI book that has been pulled from the market.
Why? They didn't like AI books, Dennis?
Apparently not.
Okay.
What happened was that this was a self-published book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
by
been
the AI
out.
Itself?
Well, let's back the cart up.
That's like Skynet
bit.
Stuff.
Let's back the cart up a little bit.
You got it.
This is a self-published book that was out. You know, a few people read it here and there, and mm-hmm. a publisher, Hachette Group, mm-hmm. Picked it up and decided that they were going to, you know, put it into the mass market.
Yeah.
However, an AI analysis of the book revealed that it was probably 78% AI generated.
Wow.
That's 78% of the content of the book.
Yep.
Is probably AI.
Yikes.
Now, the author.
Not the AI.
Not the AI.
A
the human author
yes.
of the book has said that. She did not use AI to write it.
Oh, really?
Nope.
She's
no
completely
AI.
Flabbergasted.
It's all her
Can't
own.
Can't figure it out.
But when she went about self-publishing it, she had an editor that worked on it. And apparently the editor is responsible for the AI
She's
content.
Throwing the editor under the bus.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Now, how an editor took a fully written book and then converted 78% of it to AI content.
With the author not realizing.
Maybe. Without the author even knowing, yes.
Yeah, she's like, wow,
that,
I look.
That part, yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Imagine rereading your
I'm
book.
I'm not an author, so right. I don't know anything about that. It just doesn't seem all that plausible.
No.
So what I'm thinking is that even if she's correct.
Yeah. She was complicit.
This does not look good for her at all.
She had to be complicit.
At any rate, Hachette book has pulled the book from the market before releasing it. They were supposed to release it soon, but they're not going
what
to.
What was the topic? I'm curious.
It was the name of the book is Shy Girl, and it is supposed to be a horror novel.
Oh, okay.
That's all that I know about it.
So the AI wrote the horror novel, and she didn't realize 78% of it wasn't her own writing. I mean, I'm sorry, but
this kind of thing, I have to think, is just going to keep happening a lot.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dennis. Here's a AI news story for you. So there's a water company, a startup. It's called Waterline Development. And they're a desalinization startup. Great idea, right? We got a lot of salt water. It would be nice to solve our water issues by using the ocean, wouldn't it? Sounds like a good start. Well, the problem is they wasted $200,000 on bad answers from AI.
Huh?
Yeah. So basically this AI called Razum, which is Slavic for reason, basically will go – you knew that, though.
Yeah, kind of.
He's weird that way.
Linguistics in college, what can I say? Crazy. I mean, it's a hazard.
Yep, I know. I'm in trouble anytime I say anything in this show. But so they used this tool, the AI tool, to decide whether they should use carbon cloth or cast carbon electrodes to desalinate the water in some way, some shape or form, right? And the guy said, not being PhDs in this space, so nothing like being ding-a-lings and saying they're going to fire up a desalinization plant and not get some PhDs involved. They admitted they weren't PhDs. They figured, let's go ahead and AI it. So they read relevant papers using Grok, ChatGPT.
Okay.
So who knows even if those papers were even true as far
right.
as hallucinations.
Right. I mean, they could have been, yeah, they could have been ginned up by the AIs.
So they chose carbon cloth, which is heavily used in academic papers. And basically it turned out that is fine, but it only really works on a tiny, small pilot scale. So they found after a couple $100,000 of testing that the AI was incorrect about what they should be doing. And again, if you're using AI to figure out what you're going to do for a startup, I think that's probably a red flag number one.
Well, yeah,
as
absolutely.
To how to desalinate.
You would think that scientists and technicians would be working that out.
Right. So basically they are working, they decided to use a tool called ROSM to actually try to focus on correcting these large language models so they can get better answers, right, to actually these questions rather than using what's available out there, because AI just has a hard time in multidisciplinary answers. It's very myopic when it comes down to what it's going to give you for answers based on your question. It's not going to necessarily take into consideration everything you need it to,
right?
Like a PhD might.
Right. It's focusing on responding to the specific question and nothing else. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously things are going to go forward here, but I guess the moral of the story is, are you going to invest in these companies who are like, hey, by the way, we did everything through AI. We think it'll work. AI said it's going to be just fine. Give us $1 million. We'll put a link up here to the story so you can see what's going on here. Obviously, it's going to get better. The question is, how much salt water do we need to cool the data centers that we can't afford to run so we can figure out how to desalinate it. But we'll put the link up here for you guys to take a look at it. And in other news, I saw this this morning, actually, doing my prep for the show.
Okay.
And so I think it's JP Morgan. I think it's who it is, right?
All right.
So this is, it is JP Morgan. The JP Morgan is using a tool. JP Morgan Chase is using a computer tool to estimate and monitor hours worked by their junior bankers. And the company is saying that the tool is going to compare the self-reported hours with the computer estimates purely for awareness, not enforcement. Because here's the kicker. JP Morgan is just so concerned by these bankers' health that they don't want them to overwork themselves to death as the junior bankers that they are. So they're going to be tapping them on the shoulder and say, hey, buddy, I know you only said you did 80 hours, but you're doing 120 according to the computer software here. So we want you to take it easy. Do you really think that's what they're doing?
Why do I not think that that's the story here? But hey, what do I know?
That's
right?
How it's being couched. Basically, the technology is known as bossware. And that's what's out there. A lot of even our clients are having questions into us about how they can do it with their own employees to monitor, not their health. I'll tell you right now, they're not worried about them working too hard. They're worried about them hardly working, right? So there's technology out there. TerraMind comes to mind as a technology we've recommended ourselves to our small business clients who are trying to keep an eye on their workers. And here's the thing, guys. You can jiggle the mouse all you want. Right? Go ahead and jiggle that mouse. That is not what they're looking for.
No.
These technologies out there, and they've been out there since we started the program. The program, 30 years old now, SpectreSoft, which sounds exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Basically would take a VCR of everything you're doing on your computer while you're doing it. You wouldn't even know it's there. It's called spyware. but it is commercial spyware designed to monitor your work.
Right, and it's installed on machines that are owned by the business that it is using it.
Right.
So this is legitimate. I mean, we're using the word spyware, which sounds sneaky and
right.
possibly illicit, but this is a legitimate use.
They're business machines, and the company yeah. wants to know if you're doing your work. So jiggling the mouse is not enough. They will actually have a VCR, if you know what a VCR is. We should probably stop saying that.
Well, you're right.
So TiVo got rid of the VCR. But basically, it's a technology that's going to give a full recording of everything you did all day, right? From every email you wrote, every Teams chat you had, everything you did on your machine is dumped into a file where somebody can review it. So just jiggling the mouse that you're live and taking your little setting from red to green doesn't do anything for you.
Right.
And it's only going to get worse as more and more folks work remotely and companies either see an increase in productivity because, heck, no commute time. You just roll out of bed and you're raring to go, right, Dennis?
You
get there and you get your coffee and you just start right up and you're going to be productive all day. Or are you going to be doom scrolling in between whatever you're doing and jiggling the mouse because you think that's all that's required? Well, JP Morgan is trying to help their people from working too hard.
Right.
So, sure.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
We'll put the link to the story and you can decide for yourself. But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We're going to step out for a quick break and then get to Joe and Tom on the line. Feel free to get online yourself. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. Full board of you guys. So we're happy.
Yeah. Full board before 9:30. Wow.
Yeah. We just never know, so we appreciate that. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Joe in New Haven first. He was on first. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir. What can we do for you?
I had an incident this week. A bit blocker came on my computer.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the recovery key. Try fixing it. Someone I know is into cybersecurity, but he couldn't. He tried what he could do. He probably could have overrode it, but he says it's just not ethical, which is cool.
Unethical?
because I guess he could override the whole system. But
no, he can't.
No,
were you guys at a bar when you were chatting about that? Is he? It's one of those, he's over bragging on his power.
Okay. What happened was, I should have just bought a new one. I had someone come over yesterday, charged me $150 an hour. This is really stupid, man. I should have bought a new one. He was there for an hour.
Yeah.
He couldn't get it done. He says, I got to take it
home. Of course
home.
Not. You can't get it done. There's nothing he can do.
There's no breaking it.
No. Literally, you can't. And if he's a computer person, he would know that. There's no undoing an encryption.
A truly ethical computer person would just tell you there's no breaking it and I'm not taking your money because I'm not going to waste your time.
Right.
Well, then, but he's supposed to call me back today. If he can't break it,
right.
I'm not paying him. What
there you go.
What?
Yeah, don't.
Yeah. I would bet everything he can't break it.
Well, that's good for me. I saved about $300 and everything.
Yeah,
all right.
Well, be careful, Joe. Because what he's going to do is, because he can't break it, he's going to format the drive and say, here's your machine. It's all set. I fixed it. You now have a blank hard drive. Go ahead and load your operating system. Pay me $150 is what he's going to do because that's all he can do. The machine is workable, usable after he formats the drive and reloads the operating system because everything that was on that machine is unusable because it's encrypted. So he can quote unquote make it usable again, but he won't recover it. He won't be able to make it look like it used to before. It'll be a format which you could have done yourself.
It'll effectively be a new out-of-the-box computer again.
Yeah, if he has the operating system. If he doesn't, he'll just have – well, it depends on the recovery, if he's able to get to the recovery area of the drive, which he might have.
Yes, that might be accessible.
Right, but that's just going to wipe it clean.
When he came on yesterday, he was getting certain things – because I don't save a bunch of things, but he was getting certain things that certain things were saved on the computer. I don't know either.
If it's BitLocker, it's encrypted, period. No way around it. You're locked out. No special sauce.
So he's whatever. I'll deal with him later. I'm going right now to buy another computer, which I should have done in the first place.
Well, maybe. How old is the machine, Joe?
I want a backup anyway. How old is the machine? It's going to be 3 years, I think, in October.
Okay. If you want a backup, that's fine. But again, it's perfectly good. It just needs to be wiped and reloaded because it's been encrypted.
It's a second machine, but what I'm going to wind up paying, I could basically get another computer.
Maybe.
You live in your walls.
Yeah.
No, I don't right now. If you get something decent, what I have now, the same thing, I called you guys up about 2.5 years ago. You told me what to look for.
Nice.
What I bought. 5i or something. Anyway.
i5, yeah.
My question, and then the question to you, in the future,
yep.
If I have stuff like my Microsoft account number and the recovery, when you get a new computer, if I still had this, would I be okay?
If you had the recovery key for your locker,
yeah,
yes.
And once you've set up the computer and it's been BitLockered, it's fairly easy to get the recovery key.
Yeah.
You just get it, you print it out.
Yep.
You put it in a safe place. And by safe, I mean literally like a safe or a vault
right.
or something
mm-hmm.
so that you can get to it in the future if you need it again.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's where I'm going now. I'm going to buy the computer.
All right.
The aggravation, I had 2 days without a computer. I'm going to give them $110 to set the thing up.
There you go.
And basically this. And I hope he calls me up and says he can't do anything. Whatever.
Well, what he'll tell you is he can wipe and reload it, because I can guarantee you that's all he can do.
All right. So, I should have called you guys up. Whatever. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right, Joe. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Once you're encrypted, this is the issue with ransomware. This is the issue with anything that's out there when it comes to ransomware. They use legitimate encryption technology or illegitimate encryption technology. Most often it's just legitimate. It actually can be illegitimate because they're going to create it themselves and then figure out a way to offer you the decryption key password to have it decrypted.
Right.
But once it's encrypted, there's no way around it. There's no special thing. We can't do anything as geeks to have it come back.
No, the only tools that we would have available is if a security company has figured out how to reverse engineer whatever this particular ransomware is.
Right.
There are times when that happens.
Yes.
They actually figure it out and they'll make that public and then we can apply that. But beyond that, we got nothing.
Other than a backup. Yeah,
that's
if you've
correct.
Got an image backup of the system that's been ransomed, then we can do it. We could wipe it the way we just described, and then restore the backup.
And then restore it, and then you're good.
Yeah. So, Joe, any IT guy out there saying he can break it?
No.
I will break you. No. let's go on to Tom. Tom, hang on a sec. Yeah, she's about to hit the music on the outro. So, Tom, hang on. Stefan, Mary, we're going to get to your calls. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Yep, we found out again the website's down. We don't know what's going on here every weekend as to why the site's going down. We've got a host company that I've already been pretty cranky with every Monday recently as to why it keeps going down. And they're like, oh, we're working on it. We're sorry. Mm-hmm. But right now our site's down. Well, hopefully it'll get up and we'll get it fixed. But
Once it's up, I'll go in and get all these links posted. But it'll just happen when it happens. Sorry about that.
It's ridiculous. But it is there on the Facebook and it is there on the Twitter. So if you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, Mike G is posting it there. And if you're part of the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, just ask to join. If you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in. The links are going to be there, too. So you definitely can get your links early. Don't Google it.
Right.
Whatever you
don't
do.
Don't Google it.
We'll be right back. On this Saturday morning, let's go off to your calls. And we're going to go to Tom in Harwinton and see what he's got going. What's going on, Tom?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Okay. So here's the problem. I use Brave and I use Chrome as my browsers. And there's one website that I go to, and only one, where Chrome is an absolute dog trying to open up that site. So I subscribe to three different threads on that website, and I get an email when there's a new post in one of those three. So this morning I ran some tests, and I made sure both browsers were up to date. And then I cleared the cache on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Brave opens that link to that website 1.5 seconds.
Wow.
Chrome opens it in 16 seconds. Then I did a second test with a second email to a different link on that website. Brave opened it in less than 1.5 seconds. I mean, it was barely more than a second.
Yeah.
Chrome took 14 seconds. Now, it did speed tests on both browsers, if you want to talk about that. Mm. And one other thing. I'm using Trend Micro as my antivirus software. Trend Micro works with Chrome. It does not work with Brave. Now, I don't know if that's significant or not, but no other websites I go to are affected like this using Chrome. But Chrome is a little bit slower to open these websites because I go to them every day, multiple times a day, and I know how long it takes to open them using Brave.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Well, the number one, Brave will not load a whole lot of advertising elements that are on websites that it's aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So if it knows not to bother loading like a JavaScript element that's loading ads or something, it's going to skip that.
Ignores it.
It ignores that and it just displays what it can.
Right.
And that's why Brave tends to be a little bit quicker on a lot of websites, not just this one that we're talking about.
The main Brave splash will actually show you how much faster and how much less data you're moving.
Yeah, so it's basically short-circuiting how the site works, and it's saving itself time and you. Chrome, I think, is probably loading everything. Now, if you want to still load the site in Chrome, my suggestion would be to get yourself a an ad blocker extension in Chrome if you don't already have one. And see if that helps. All right. Well,
two ad blockers, and I don't see any ads in Chrome on that website.
Well, part of the problem there is that because Chrome is running an extension, that's actually consuming
time.
CPU cycles in order to then look at the at what's coming in and deciding whether to load certain elements. So that, you're not going to get the kind of time savings from that that you get from Brave. But it was just a thought that I had.
Right, so you've actually given a good endorsement for Brave and how it works. It's exactly doing what it's supposed to be doing. And that site you're going to clearly has really slow news technologies that's out there, and it's just taking extra time to have it display, and Brave's doing a great job preventing that. So
you think it's that one site that's
yes.
the problem, and you don't think Trend Micro is interfering?
Nah. I don't know. I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
Not selectively in that way, no. I just think the site is just structured in a way that Brave is short-circuiting whatever's there, and then Chrome is not. That's
right.
All.
You know, it never used to be this way. And over the past couple of months, I've noticed this slowdown. And I've just stopped using Chrome because I'm so disgusted with it. And I don't use Firefox because years ago it was fast, and then it got so slow, I just couldn't use it in Chrome was great, so I migrated to that. But I've got Firefox on this computer. I got it in September because I couldn't upgrade to Windows 11.
Yep.
So I've never used Firefox on this computer. I went in this morning. I typed in the main page for this problem website.
Mm-hmm.
Firefox just opened it really quick, like Brave. Okay. And I'm wondering, should I just forget about Chrome and not maintain my bookmarks in Chrome anymore and do everything with Brave and Firefox? Because I have to go through Firefox and set things up. And it's been years since I've looked at it.
Well, there it is. Yeah, you can export your bookmarks to Firefox just right from Chrome.
Yeah, or from Brave,
or from
whichever
Brave.
One you're using. Yeah, you know, go ahead. Here's my advice to everybody just all the time. This is not just for you.
Yeah.
Is have one browser that you rely on most of the time. And then if there's a site that doesn't work, well in it, then use another one for that. But you've got to keep your eyes open because you're right. The behaviors of the different browsers is going to change over time.
Mm-hmm.
And the complaint that you had about Firefox is a very old one and it's industry wide. It was an amazing browser originally, and then it got really, really sluggish, and everybody jumped to Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that's how it went. Again, industry-wide. So it looks like Firefox may have tightened up their code, and they might even be doing something with that site similar to what Brave is doing, where it's just not
processing
performing all of the instructions.
Right.
That might be the case.
And the thing that worried me about Firefox is when I was still on Windows 10, half my bookmarks wouldn't open properly in Firefox. So I stopped doing backups for Firefox. I've got 5 flash drives that I back up my bookmarks to. So that's 2 different browsers, 5 different flash drives.
Wow.
I don't want to have a third. I'm going to be doing 15 exports before I do window updates.
Well, I see your complaint there. You use browsers differently than most people.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a lot more complex than I ever come across.
Yeah. I mean, if you're using the browser the way you are, you want to choose one that's going to be the best for you. But for right now, you're going to have to suck it up, Buttercup, with your slow Chrome if you're going to use the browser that way, or realize that other browsers are out there. And Brave is something we've recommended for a long time. It's going to have its limitations too, though. But I like it. It's fast.
Yeah.
And more private. DuckDuckGo can get involved in some of these things too, as far as more security and privacy. But you're doing things very uniquely, all these backups and these bookmarks and all this stuff. And I can tell your frustration of having to manage that. You definitely are using the tool differently than most people I know.
I try to keep both browsers in sync as far as how they look and they function.
Wow.
And I've got everything working okay. It's just this one darn website that's driving me crazy. So what you're saying is, instead of being flexible and being able to use either browser, either time, I should just stay with Chrome, stay with Brave, and if for some reason it doesn't work, then I should use either Firefox or Chrome.
Has anybody said you're obsessive compulsive there, Tom?
I was a computer programmer, systems analyst. I'm so analytical and logical that things just have to be exactly right. I'm a perfectionist. I mean, it's a real curse.
Sometimes
it's good, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you're struggling with it, really.
Yeah.
Things like this can drive me nuts, and I try to keep things always working properly. And it's just too much.
Yeah, so you know what you got to do, Tom? You got to get out and smell the roses. You got to relax, take some deep breaths. Take your shoes off and touch the grass. Get grounded. I think you are getting driven nuts because you called about this problem before. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think I did, but now it's to the point where I'm just ready to drop Google Chrome and jump over to Firefox. But the work to get that one synced up with Brave, like, oh my God, I don't have hours to do this. You know,
got a girlfriend and things to get done, as the song goes. Every OS sucks. So yeah, Tom, I would tell you, man, it's just it's going to be just the nature of this one site. If this site is that important to you, go ahead and shift to Firefox and we wish you the best. However, we would know that this problem is going to, there'll be a different problem in Firefox tomorrow.
Yeah. And over time too. I mean, you know, 6 months from now, we could have a completely different discussion where the different browsers are giving you different times.
Wait till your printer stops working with Windows Protected Print.
Oh.
Right? Or WW.
Don't.
Windows.
No, don't even go there, Eric. Yeah. I'm already having nightmares.
Yeah. So you think that's going to, you're being driven nuts now. So chill out, deep breaths, box breathing. Box breathing is what I've heard is a way to take care of this for you, Tom. Don't stress.
I'll just rely on Brave as the main browser then.
All right.
Yeah, you can do a lot worse than Brave.
Browsers, but I mean, it just isn't working now.
I hear you, man. I wish we could give you one to rule them all, but there is no one browser.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm having flashbacks to the years of the browser wars between Netscape and Internet Explorer.
And I can feel his pain. I mean, he wants it to work.
And he wants it to be the same across all the browsers. Why shouldn't it be? It should be.
Imagine if your coffee maker didn't like to use Folgers versus using whichever one you might use. I can't think of any
Maxwell
other.
House.
Yeah, Chock Full of Nuts, which I always found funny. Yeah. For some reason, your coffee maker wouldn't work with Chock Full of Nuts, but it does work with Folgers. That's what it's kind of describing in a backwards, weird way. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Two lines open for you, 860-522-9842. Software is not a coffee maker. We'll be right back. And we are back. Went to the Webster Underground a few weekends back, if you can believe that.
Okay.
And they were having a rave upstairs at the Webster proper, but they have a Webster Underground.
All right.
Where we checked out a band called Brass Against. And one of my good buddies is a middle school teacher, music teacher. And one of his students from way back plays Barry Sax for Brass Against.
Oh.
And they were pretty cool. And they play similar music to what Carolyn's playing, except it's a little more Rage Against the Machine style music versus what you just heard. So if you're if you heard Rage Against the Machine there, Dennis, you ever listened
to
that?
Yeah. I have. That's why I'm trying to reconcile that with what we're hearing.
That's the cool part. That's the cool part. Imagine a tuba and a Barry Sax, a trumpet, trombone, drums, electric guitar, and two amazing singers. But yeah, I don't know. It's popped into my head. All right, let's go to Stefan in New Britain and see what he's got going on. Stefan, what's up?
Well, I just thought I'd update you on the dumpster computer. But
okay.
So the both of you can sleep at night. My BitLocker is in a safe.
Nice.
Guarded by a team of mice with very tiny guns.
Nice.
All right.
All right. So I went and I talked to Dan. And he did his best to unfreeze the dumpster computer. And he couldn't get around getting into it and installing installing 10 because it kept buffering and it said computer repair or something.
Mm.
And we tried that three times. So his suggestion, which I want to run by you, is take it to Best Buy because I'm paying like $180 a month, a year to belong to it.
Right.
Bring it there, and he thinks it's either the hard drive, which is an easy fix, or the motherboard.
Yeah. If it's a hard drive,
I agree. I agree. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
So, and,
yeah.
I'm figuring $200 cap on that to find out what's really wrong with it because I guess I looked up the Best Buy thing, and if it was something that I bought within 2 years, it's all covered.
Mm.
But if I didn't buy it from them, I get like 20% off the repair or something.
Oh, gee. Okay, so you're paying them an annual fee to have access to support, and then you can still only get a tiny little discount?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, if they can get it going somehow, because Dan seemed fairly knowledgeable.
All right.
About doing this, and I do have the Windows 7 on a stick drive and Windows 10, and Dan believes, and he agreed with me, that it is a cool laptop because it has a whole bunch of stuff that they don't put on laptops anymore.
All right.
And I'm figuring on doing that. Do you think that's a reasonable plan or?
Don't spend too much, Stefan. I mean, it's basically the hard drives these days are all shooting up in price too. So you might be shocked about what hard drive prices are.
Well, can't I just stick an SSD in that bastard?
Yeah.
I think I got it. Don't use that word. But the answer is maybe if the price is right.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, the problem is the prices are going crazy for hardware, and you got to be careful with spending too much money on a dumpster laptop.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to cap it at a certain price point, but I'm not going to be put a spinning drive in there because that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just an SSD. Right?
Yeah, yeah. If you can get an SSD for a relatively good price, literally, if we talked to you the end of the last quarter of 2025, the pricing would be normal, and then everything in this quarter went nuts, and all the drives were
in the data centers.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So, normal advice that we would give is not really normal anymore. Server proposals that I'm doing that would have been a $15,000 server is now $25,000 servers.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's how crazy it's gotten. And you can thank data centers and the manufacturers for causing this. This is the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in 36 years in this business. So don't spend too much money on this dumpster laptop, no matter how cool you think a VGA interface is. 15 pins is not everything.
All right, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring it to him and ask him, look, how much is it going to be to get this thing? Well, what's wrong with it?
Right.
And how much is it to get it running?
Right. You got to pay for the first, yeah. You got to pay for the diagnosis, so.
Yeah, I know that. So, yeah. And then go from there. All yeah. right.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much,
you
gentlemen.
And you sound like you feel better, so we're glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah, the bronchitis is waning, whatever.
Nice. Good.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Thanks very much, guys.
You got it. Bye-bye. Stefan and his dumpster laptop saga continues. All right, let's continue with your calls. We're going to go to Mary in Hartford. What's happening, Mary?
Hi. I was thinking about when you were talking about AI, ChatGPT, and how the author... they were saying that she or he used
she
chat she used yeah. the chat GPT. How do they prove it if the editor is like very talented, and how could they prove that? Go ahead.
I don't know how far the analysis has gone. There was one AI analysis that determined that it was 78% AI. And that's what triggered the whole review that Hachette did and all of that. So they may, behind the scenes, they may have done stuff that we don't know about.
Well, colleges have had this ability now for a long time.
Yeah.
Students and, who think they're letting their AI almost, write their papers.
Almost as soon as AI started being a thing where people were using it to generate stuff, there has been AI to analyze it and detect other AI.
Yeah.
And the two things came almost simultaneously.
And work slop is pretty easy to detect as well, created by AI, just a human looking at, no, this guy doesn't talk this way. So, there's tools out there, Mary.
Okay.
There's
and
tools.
Where does AI and ChatGPT actually get their information from? From information that's put into?
A lot of it's been scraped.
Question?
A lot of it's been scraped. So, they scrape websites. The model is scraping everything that's on the internet, and actually there are services out there that are trying to block the AIs from scraping people's information. So it's out there doing what Google used to do, and it's crawling the web, sucking up all the data. They're actually taking copywritten information, and they've been caught numerous times, not necessarily ChatGPT, but Claude, the quote-unquote more legitimate AI has, you know, taken authors' work that was on a dark website, and they sucked it all into their large language model. So they're quote-unquote stealing it to begin with. And then, of course, there's places that'll, like you might give it to them, right? You might give your material because you're going to take it and input it into the AI and say, hey, analyze this, or hey, I got an idea. Can you turn it into something bigger? You give the AI your idea. Now, guess what? Everyone's got your idea. Right, you have some great idea for some great novel that nobody's ever thought of that hasn't been done before, and you put it into AI. Guess what? We all got it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So that's how they get it, and so you can determine if this AI has been used because I don't know how, but the algorithm can figure out that it seems AI-y.
Well, there are algorithms to do that, but the fact that stuff has been scraped and picked up by AIs and then is used to generate more stuff, you can look at the stuff that's been generated and look for the tracks of that.
Yeah.
If you can see that a chunk of text is exactly the same as, you know, like a passage from a Wikipedia article written 2 years ago, then you're going to know that something vacuumed that up and put it there.
It's
either the person that wrote it or it's the AI that they use to generate it.
It tends to also use a kind of style. The AI will use grammar in a stylistic way that may not be normal for the author to use, and it can kind of tell that that's an AI style. Again, we're not experts in this, but that's kind of what we've read. Are you thinking about writing a book there, Mary, and saying it's yours and having AI do it?
No, I was, that's a good thought, though.
Why not? Everyone's doing it. I mean, we have a story about a guy who's got to pay $8 million because of his AI music, right, Dennis?
Yep, $8 million. That was actually a scam, though.
Yeah.
This is a different kind of a story,
but still AI related.
It is.
So I hope that helps you, Mary.
Yeah. Okay, and one more question, and that would be the same for like designers for designing rooms and such.
I would think for any technology you're going to dump into AI, if it's not your own idea, yeah, and you actually represent it as your idea, you may find yourself embarrassed.
Ah, okay. All right.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. All right. So just make sure if you're going to use AI, you give it credit.
Yeah, be honest.
Did you write it or did you prompt it? We're going to step out for a quick break. Adam and Maria, hang on. A couple lines open for you. This is Computer Talk, and our website's right back up. So
it is.
We're good. We'll be right back.